This is Patty Krumholz for the Talking Information Center, reading the August 20th, 2026 edition of the Lynn Daily Item. First up, Lynn officers investigated for misuse of flock cameras by Sophia Harris. Two Lynn police officers have been placed on paid administrative leave after an audit of the department's flock license plate reader system uncovered a concerning pattern in some searches. The Lynn Police Department has launched an internal affairs investigation into the searches after implementing Flock Safety's audit assist tool August 12th. During its initial use, the audit process identified anomalies that prompted further review, according to the Lynn Police Department. That review uncovered the pattern that led to the two officers being placed on leave. Police did not identify the officers or provide details about the searches under investigation. The department said it will conduct a, quote, thorough and impartial investigation, end quote, before reaching conclusions about whether department policies were violated. Quote, if it is determined that an officer conducted searches in violation of department policy, appropriate disciplinary action will be taken, end quote, the department said. The department stated that a detailed analysis determined that none of the searches under investigation involved immigration enforcement. As the investigation proceeds, access to Lynn's flock system has been restricted to supervisory personnel with the rank of lieutenant or higher. The department is also reviewing its license plate reader policy to ensure appropriate safeguards, accountability measures, and oversight procedures are in place. The department said it has strengthened its oversight procedures by requiring regular and ongoing use of audit assist in an effort to quickly identify and investigate any improper searches. The investigations follow increased attention to Lynn's use of flock cameras and the safeguards surrounding the technology. The Daily Item reported August 12th that Lynn has 25 flock cameras positioned along major traffic routes throughout the city. Police Chief Christopher P. Reddy said at the time that the cameras are fixed in place and capture the rear of vehicles and their license plates. Images are retained for 30 days. Reddy also told the Item that the department regularly audits officers' flock search histories and was reviewing whether those audits should be conducted more frequently. He described audit assist as an additional layer of oversight that could alert the department when searches meet certain metrics and warrant further review. The department said Wednesday that license plate reader technology, including flock safety products, is used to locate and apprehend wanted people, investigate criminal activity, search for missing people, and in some cases, exonerate people who may have been falsely accused. Police said the technology has provided investigative leads in cases that might otherwise remain unsolved, but acknowledged that its use comes with the responsibility to ensure searches are conducted only for legitimate law enforcement purposes. The department said it is committed to maintaining that standard and holding accountable anyone who fails to comply. It also said the use of license plate readers must be guided by clear policies, regular audits, and ongoing review to ensure compliance with legal, ethical, and operational standards. The department said it will continue reviewing its policies as the internal affairs investigation proceeds and will evaluate additional policy training and auditing measures to strengthen the public trust and ensure compliance with department standards. Quote, with those benefits comes the responsibility to engage in ongoing policy review to ensure that advances in technology are met with relevant and effective safeguards pertaining to its use, end quote, the department said. The author of this article, Item Editorial Director Sophia Harris, can be reached at sophia@itemlive.com. End of article. Next, Saugus Senior Center Gets New Wheels by Elizabeth Della Piana. The Senior Center is receiving two new vehicles to help out seniors in town after the Board of Selectmen voted to approve the donations on Tuesday. The donated cars are a 2026 Ford Transit 11 passenger van and a 2026 Toyota Camry hybrid. In a letter to the board, the Council on Aging explained the importance these two new vehicles will bring. The 11-passenger van will be used to transport seniors safely to and from the Senior Center and provide transportation for grocery shopping and other Council on Aging programs and activities. Quote, this vehicle will help us continue to provide reliable, accessible transportation while meeting the growing needs of our senior population, end quote, the council wrote. The second vehicle will be used to transport seniors to and from medical appointments. Quote, as you know, access to dependable transportation is essential for many older adults to attend medical visits, receive treatments, and maintain their health and independence, end quote, the council wrote. The council continued that the vehicles will significantly enhance the council on aging's ability to provide safe, efficient, and dependable transportation service to the seniors of Saugus. While the name of the donor was unknown, Selectman Michael Serino thanked them for the vehicles. The board unanimously approved the two new donated vehicles. The author of this article, Elizabeth Della Piana, can be reached at elizabeth@itemlive.com. End of article. Next up, Lynn calls on community to support Veterans Parade by Olivia Hadar. Honoring veterans and first responders has long been a priority for the Lynn Veterans Council, which is organizing a parade next month to celebrate their service and sacrifice. Starting at 1 p.m. on September 20th, veterans, police officers, firefighters, EMTs, and active duty military members will march from Center Street to Manning Field to celebrate the 250th anniversary of America's founding, the 25th anniversary of 9/11, and the 25th anniversary of the Global War on Terror. Lynn Veterans Council President Charlie Griffin, a former Lynn police officer and U.S. Marine, said honoring those who put their lives on the line for their country and its citizens has been a goal of his since joining the council in 2019, shortly after retiring from the police force. Quote, "Without veterans, we wouldn't have the country that we have today. So anything we can do to honor their sacrifices and all the work they've done for our country, and still does, they should definitely get recognized and honored," end quote, Griffin said. Griffin said the 2026 North Shore Veterans and First Responders Parade will include 10 local bands, Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps units, police and fire departments, antique military vehicles, two Salem trolleys for people with mobility limitations, and a horse-drawn carriage leading the parade. Lynn Veterans Council Secretary Kenneth Oswald said the parade had a hefty $100,000 budget aimed at creating a memorable celebration for those being honored. Expenses so far total a little more than $73,000, much of which has been covered through community donations, Oswald said. Griffin added that $15,000 was raised through a golf tournament. Oswald said one of the best parts of organizing the parade has been seeing community members and city departments work together. Quote, "It isn't just one person putting it together. It has been a whole group of individuals putting it together along with the support from all those organizations in the city," end quote, Oswald said, including the City of Lynn, Lynn Police, Lynn Fire, the Department of Public Works, the Mayor's Office, Solomine Funeral Homes, and countless more. The parade will include representation from across the North Shore, ranging from state police to active duty military members, Griffin said. Oswald said four parades have been held before this year's event, with the celebration moving between North Shore communities, including Swampscott and Saugus. He said the tradition connects neighboring communities through their shared support for veterans and first responders. With the parade a month away, the Lynn Veterans Council is still looking for sponsors, volunteers, and even more veterans to participate and help make the event, quote, big and beautiful, end quote, Griffin said. Quote, "We really hope to get a good showing from people," Griffin said, "not just a country celebration, but to show how much we appreciate veterans and first responders," end quote. Those interested in volunteering, sponsoring the event, or learning more can visit the Lynn Veterans Council Facebook page or the city's Veterans Services Department website. The author of this article, Olivia Hadar, can be reached at ohadar@itemlive.com. End of article. Next, Swampscott deals with network disruption by Erin Hickey. Town officials are investigating a network disruption at Town Hall that has affected municipal operations and prompted the cancellation of several public meetings this week. The disruption occurred on Tuesday, August 18th. Town Administrator Nick Connor said the town moved quickly to secure its computer network and has brought outside specialists in to determine the extent of the incident. Quote, "We recently experienced a network disruption that is impacting certain aspects of our operations," Connor said in a statement to the Daily Item. "In response, we immediately took steps to secure our network," end quote. Town officials have not yet disclosed what caused the disruption, which systems were affected, or whether any town or resident data was accessed or compromised. Quote, "Our IT team is working diligently with third-party specialists to investigate the full nature and scope of the incident and securely restore files and systems as expeditiously as possible," end quote, Connors said. The incident has already disrupted some of the town's normal business. Tuesday evening's select board meeting was canceled, while meetings of the Board of Health and Water and Sewer Infrastructure Advisory Committee, scheduled for Wednesday, were also called off. It was not immediately clear Wednesday when the canceled meetings would be rescheduled or how long the town expects the network disruption to affect municipal operations. The nature of the incident also remains under investigation. A network disruption does not necessarily mean that personal information has been compromised, and the town has not said that a data breach has been confirmed. Under Massachusetts law, government agencies must notify affected residents if they determine that personal information was acquired, accessed, or used by an unauthorized person. They are also required to notify the State Attorney General and Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. For now, town officials are working with their IT staff and outside specialists to determine what happened and restore affected systems. The author of this article, Erin Hickey, can be reached at erin@itemlive.com. End of article. Next article, start spreading the news, Swampscott High is on the rise. There was good news across Massachusetts Tuesday when U.S. News & World Report released its rankings of high schools, especially in Swampscott, where Swampscott High made a significant jump. Swampscott High ranked number 58 of 408 public high schools in the Commonwealth, 353 of which were ranked by U.S. News & World Report. Last year, SHS was ranked 98th. Quote, "We are obviously very pleased with this development," said Superintendent of Schools Jason Kalikman, who credited the entire staff with leading the resurgence. "This is definitely an all-around team success. Ms. Zotto, the teachers, staff, students, and families can all be proud. There is an energetic and supportive atmosphere among students and staff, and it shows in these rankings," end quote. While SHS was in the top 15% of Massachusetts schools, it was in the top 5% of the more than 27,000 high schools nationwide that the magazine ranked. Massachusetts had the highest percentage, 47, of schools ranked in the top 25% nationally, followed by New Jersey and Maryland. Quote, "We're honored to have dedicated teachers and talented students," Principal Emily Zotto said. "When everyone is pulling in the same direction, good things happen," end quote. Rankings were based on six factors: college readiness, 30%, state assessment proficiency, 20%, state assessment performance, 20%, graduation rate, 10%, college curriculum breadth, 10%, and underserved student performance, 10%. End of article. And last article from the front page, Pope Richard House will honor Linfield history, by Dacia Smith. The Linfield Historical Commission shared plans to transform the Pope Richard House into an educational resource highlighting the town's history at the Select Board meeting on Monday. Commissioner Abigail Kilgore began the presentation with an overview of the Pope Richard House, which was built in 1928 and later gifted to the town of Linfield. By 2003, the Select Board and then-town administrator Joseph Maney had granted the Historical Commission custody, which initially explored converting the building into a historical museum. Those plans were ultimately halted due to issues with the building, including a basement leak. In 2021, the building was renamed in honor of Commissioner Stephen Richard, the late son of Edith Pope Richard, to pay homage to their legacy and preserve the town's storied history. In 2024, the town requested temporary use of the building during the public safety building project, but it was returned to the commission this year. As part of the proposed redesign, the commission suggested dedicating multiple rooms to different aspects of Linfield's history. Quote, "My general impression was this house needs a little work, a little organization, but it was loaded with history, all kinds of historical documents and artifacts. It was very impressive," end quote, Vice Chair Stephen Todisco said. Todisco then outlined the proposed plans for the four main rooms in the house, including a sunroom to be used as a reading room. The commission suggested turning another into the Newell Community Room, named in honor of Hosiah Newell, one of the town's original founding fathers. The room would explore Linfield's recreational areas, including the pond, Suntog Lake, and local parks, while also highlighting restaurants and businesses that were once vital parts of the town through feature photographs, artifacts, and books. Another suggestion is the creation of the Royal Barry Wills Architectural Room, named in honor of the award-winning architect who designed many homes around town. The room would explore Linfield's transformation from a farming community into the town of homes and include photographs, artifacts, and even original architectural plans. Quote, "We have collected a tremendous amount of old books, and we just recently obtained them from the Wills family. He has all kinds of maps and drawings and sketches and notes. It's incredible what they handed over to us to feature in that room," end quote, Todisco added. Finally, the commission suggested creating the Rose Community Room in honor of former Commissioner June Rose. The room would explore Linfield's three town halls, the Common, the Meeting House, the Congregational Church, libraries, cemeteries, and veterans services, while featuring photographs, artifacts, books, and Rose's donation of historical annual reports from the Planning Board. The commission also proposed community partnerships within the building, including lockable display cabinets that could be used by town boards, committees, and departments to display other historical artifacts and information. Through these efforts, the commission hopes the Pope Richard House can become an educational resource for the public. Quote, "The goal is to open the Pope Richard House Center for the public several hours each weekend at no charge, partner with the Linfield Senior Center to recruit volunteer museum staff and greeters, and partner with even Linfield Public Schools to offer student volunteer opportunities for community service or service learning requirements where applicable," member John Michalski stated. "This will help make Linfield's history accessible and engaging for all residents of all ages," end quote. During the board's feedback, Select Board Chair Alexis Leahy suggested including community groups like Linfield for Love to further foster inclusivity. Select Board Clerk Jill Gallagher echoed her suggestion, while also raising up the idea of giving the town input on the names of each room. Quote, "The names are suggestions, but I'd suggest if the Historical Commission could partner with the town and point out a call for what are names in town. There's a number of personalities in town, a number of people who have benefited the town over the years, so just gain a sense from the community of what resources they have," end quote, he said. The author of this article, Dacia Smith, can be reached at dacia@itemlive.com. End of article. And I was wrong. This is the last article from the front page. Permit approved for IV drip therapy in Peabody by Amanda Lurie. The City Council unanimously approved a special permit for Cassandra Garcilaso to operate an IV drip therapy business on Lake Street. Garcilaso, a Peabody resident and nurse, will operate out of 4 Lake Street, Unit 7. The business will provide intravenous vitamin therapy intended to provide hydration, an energy boost, and immune system support, according to attorney John Keelty, who represented Garcilaso during Tuesday's public hearing. Keelty explained that the treatments involved a licensed nurse administering saline, electrolytes, vitamins, and other materials through the client's veins. Garcilaso will own and operate the business and serve as its nurse on staff. Before opening, Garcilaso still needs to obtain the license and certifications requested by the Board of Health in the state. Keelty said she was in the process of obtaining them and expected she would have the necessary approvals around Labor Day. This space must also receive approval for its plumbing. Keelty said Garcilaso has worked with her contractor to ensure the build-out meets requirements from the city's Department of Public Services and Board of Health. During the public hearing, Ward 6 Councilor Mike Higgins noted that the business is, quote, "a good fit for this area in West Peabody," end quote. Councilor-at-Large Tom Rossignol asked whether a nurse would be on staff in case a client had an adverse reaction to the treatments, to which Garcilaso said yes, as she will be the nurse on staff. Councilor-at-Large Jared Hockman then asked if Garcilaso had malpractice insurance, which she said she did. Additionally, Ward 1 Councilor Craig Welton asked if Garcilaso planned to eventually offer Botox or other injectable cosmetic treatments. Garcilaso said her med spa license may cover those services, but she does not currently plan to offer them. The special permit was approved with the following conditions. Operating hours will be 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Sunday through Saturday. Plumbing must be approved by the Board of Health and Public Works Department to ensure hazardous materials do not enter the sewer system. All Board of Health requirements must be met. All required licenses and certificates must be obtained. All required insurance must be in place before the business opens. And Garcilaso must return to the City Council before adding other health-related or cosmetic services to her business. The author of this article, Amanda Lurie, can be reached at amanda@itemlive.com. End of article. In New England news, truckload of squid spills into the street in Rhode Island. By Josh Kelly. A tractor-trailer rollover sent a truckload of squid spilling into a Rhode Island roadway, leaving a stench as they sat in the road for hours in the summer heat. Local authorities have dubbed it the squidpocalypse of 2026. It was a warm, sunny day in the coastal town of Narragansett when the spill happened Sunday, and Narragansett Police Captain Ryan Prest said he was told that the scene, quote, "started to smell bad as the squid sat out in the sun for a few hours," end quote. The fully loaded trailer was taking the squid to a processing facility out of town when the trailer dislodged and tipped on its side as the driver was navigating a turn, spilling a substantial portion of its calamari cargo, the police department said in a statement. Police responded at 9:27 a.m., and the intersection wasn't reopened until 5:15 p.m., authorities said. Video of the scene showed a trailer on its side and massive piles of squid on the road. Quote, "Squid has a distinctive odor to it," Richard Stevens, an Narragansett resident and fisherman, told WJAR. "It can be very foul-smelling, especially if it lands on the road and stays there for a while," end quote. Heavy equipment and dump truck were used to remove the squid, press said. The driver and a passenger in the truck cab weren't injured, and no other vehicles were involved, press said. The Rhode Island State Police Commercial Enforcement Unit is investigating, but it's unclear if any enforcement action will be taken, press said. Quote, "We have not issued any citations," press said. "I'm not sure if there will be any citations issued by the state police," end quote. State police did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The Narragansett Police Department made light of the situation in a social media post on Wednesday, stating that the town is, quote, "still recovering," end quote, from the, quote, "squidpocalypse of 26, the spill that put slippery when wet to shame," end quote, and end of article. Next article, woman sought in mass officer's death, co-founded mental health group for first responders. Police investigating the death of an off-duty police officer in Massachusetts in what they called a domestic matter are searching for a woman who co-founded a group that focuses on suicide and mental health issues among first responders. The officer, a 31-year veteran, was found dead at a home in Worcester, Massachusetts on Tuesday. Police and Worcester County District Attorney Joseph Early Jr. said the 58-year-old woman was at the house. Police were passing out flyers with her photo to drivers in the area Wednesday morning. Local, state, and federal agencies were involved in searching for the woman, who may be armed, Worcester Police Chief Paul Saucier and Worcester District Attorney Joseph Early said in a news conference. Quote, "I can't get into too much of it with regards to our domestic violence rules and regulations," end quote, Early said. An email seeking comment on the investigation was sent to a spokesperson for Early's office Wednesday. Police identified the woman as Karen Solomon and did not name the officer. Thomas Duffy, the president of the local police union, identified the officer as Kurt Solomon. Police did not describe the relationship between the two. Records show the Solomons own the home and that Kurt Solomon named Karen Solomon as his wife in a 2016 bankruptcy case. Quote, "When you serve 31 years with an individual, you become more than co-workers. You become family. And today we lost a member of our family," Duffy told reporters Tuesday. "Just a tremendous human being, extremely committed, always reliable, always dedicated to the job and to the citizens." He added, "It's a very difficult time. His loss is deeply being felt by the men and women of this department right now," end quote. Karen Solomon is a co-founder of an organization called First HELP, the organization said in a statement Tuesday night. The group, quote, is dedicated to honoring the service of first responders who have died by suicide, supporting their families, reducing the stigma associated with seeking mental health assistance, and increasing awareness of mental health challenges within the law enforcement and first responder communities, it said. "Our first concern is for the officer who lost his life, his family, his colleagues, and the Worcester law enforcement community," the group said in its statement. "We extend our deepest condolences to all those affected by this tragedy," end quote. First HELP said the circumstances surrounding the Worcester investigation, quote, "are an active matter for law enforcement," end quote, and the group will have no further comment on it. End of article. In further Massachusetts news, old laws give city the win in White Stadium court battle by Michael P. Norton. The state's highest court on Wednesday sided with Boston, rejecting a challenge from opponents of the city's White Stadium project that is designed to overhaul a 77-year-old stadium and provide a home field for the Boston Legacy women's pro soccer team. Ruling in Emerald Necklace Conservancy versus the City of Boston, the Supreme Judicial Court said the Franklin Park parcel where the project is unfolding is not subject to Article 97 of the Massachusetts Constitution, which requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature to dispose of parkland or convert it to another use. The court wrote that the stadium parcel and others in West Roxbury were acquired in 1883 by the city by eminent domain for use as a public park. Landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted designed what is now known as Franklin Park, which is part of a system of parks that became known as the Emerald Necklace. Quote, Olmsted envisioned an area he called the Playstead at the north end of Franklin Park to be used for the athletic recreation and education of the city schoolboys, for occasional civil ceremonies and exhibitions, and for any purpose likely to draw spectators in crowds. Justice Gabrielle Wolohojian wrote, "Since Franklin Park's opening, the place that has been used for both individual recreation and large-scale gatherings such as athletic events, festivals, and parades," end quote. However, the stadium parcel was dedicated to another use not subject to Article 97 as a result of legislative actions in 1947 and 1950, the court ruled. In 1947, the court wrote, "The legislature authorized the stadium parcel to be conveyed at fair market value to the White Fund, to be used in accordance with purposes outlined in George Robert White's will," quote, "and those purposes were not limited to park use," end quote. In 1950, the court wrote, "The legislature recognized and designated White Stadium and the stadium parcel as," quote, "a school building and yard," end quote, "to be repaired and maintained, though through appropriations by the city school committee." Quote, "Taken together, these two pieces of legislation effectively removed the stadium parcel from its previous designation as parkland and made it a school department facility to be maintained by the school committee," the court said. Accordingly, by the time Article 97 was ratified over 20 years later in 1972, the stadium parcel was no longer subject to its provisions. End quote and end of article. Next, "Gambling Opponents Slam Online Lotteries Childlike Themes" by Colin A. Young. Less than a month into its existence, a new online purchase and play platform run by the Mass Lottery is facing criticism from national gambling opponents who say the new online products are, quote, "flagrantly utilizing design features that deliberately exploit and capitalize off young users' unique vulnerabilities," end quote. Stop Predatory Gambling sent a letter Monday to Treasurer Deborah Goldberg, Governor Maura Healey, Attorney General Andrea Campbell, and legislative leaders urging Goldberg, who oversees the lottery, quote, "to take immediate action against the Massachusetts Lottery for purposefully designing their online casino gambling style app to target and exploit the vulnerabilities of the state's young people," end quote. The group took issue with three specific online games accessible to people 21 or older through the Massachusetts Lottery online platform that went live July 27th, arguing that they rely on, quote, "childlike themes, cartoonish graphics," end quote, and other design features that could appeal to young people. Games that alluded to the common arcade claw game and the folktale of Aladdin and a magic lamp, and one that featured cartoon chickens, were of particular concern for the group. Stop Predatory Gambling also said it was alarmed that the lottery is giving people, without having to verify their age, the ability to try out the online games in a free demonstration mode. End of article.